just stay in this place forever. Amen. Yeah, it's so good to have old friends here as well. It's really beautiful to have the two of you here, Sharka and Pietman. It's really a blessing to have you here. And then friends from Pretoria, yeah. a friend from Pretoria. We really are privileged to have you here. It's Christine, eh? I'm assist- Christina. Christina is touring a little bit, and she came to us as well. We are privileged to have you here. This morning, I want to continue on something that God has taken us on a journey for or by, and I hope that God is going to this morning stir a few things in our hearts again. It feels like this year is not coming to an end, eh? There's so many things that God is dealing with us with, and as well as the busy schedules. I can see it on everyone's faces. It just feels like, can we just rest now? Can we just take a break? Yeah, it must be the Christmas parties, eh? So I want to just share with you something that I've just worked through with God myself. So I can just say that I've not mastered this. I am in the process of a lot of conviction myself. So if I this morning share with you the word, I always know that there's judgment. You know, when you preach about things that God is working through with you, you normally do it afterwards. But I know that God is on a journey with me on this one. So I know that it will be relevant to you. And I do it in fear and trembling because I also know that God is working at, taming my mouth. So we're going to read Proverbs 18:21, which says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Amen. Okay, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, I've mentioned it last week and I'm going to say it again. With my leg now, getting healed, I realized that there's some things that you get very frustrated about, you know, especially going upstairs, you know, in a house that's two stories. You realize that, it's not that easy anymore. But then God reminds you about the fact that you can walk. And that there's some people that don't even have that privilege. That sometimes we moan and complain and groan about things that we take for granted and that we actually must be more grateful for. And so when I speak this morning, I especially want to talk about, last week we addressed some thought issues, we addressed freedom starts with thoughts and about walking into faith in the promises that God wants for your life, but it starts with the thought pattern and to take hold of the promises that God has for you. But this week we want to talk about your mouth, because your mouth actually contributes a lot to the actions that you have in this life. Now, we take it for granted. You know, when you walk, you don't even think about it when things go well. The mouth is like that as well. We don't think what we say because you just speak what you think or not even think about. Some people just has the habit to release without thinking. And this morning I want to talk about it because, you know, the Bible speaks about a few things that we must address as Christians when we get to a place of wholeness in our lives. And Genesis 3 verse 1 is so clear that Satan even asked, "Has God indeed said?" So everything that God say is powerful. Everything that you say in this life is powerful, and you will be accounted for that. And this morning, I want to talk about those things. And there's especially two things that I want to talk about in James 3. And we're going to spend all of our time in James 3 this morning. And I hope that James is going to convict us. If not, I don't know what's going to convict you, because James is one of those books that, just challenge from the word go. James 1, James 2, James 3. You don't want to read that on an empty stomach. You need to get yourself focused this morning. So these two things: consider your words, and then the other one that I want to talk about is consider wisdom. So I wanted to read about James 3, verse 1 to 2, a call to maturity. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Why? Because of the things that we say, the things that we address. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in a way he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. So first of all, James in chapter 3 speaks about the fact that we must get to maturity. And in doing so, he says that there's actually a standard, because when we want to teach, when we want to release words, we must know that there's a stricter a judgment to those who take the responsibility in speaking the word of God. Romans 12, verse 67, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, in proportion to our faith. If service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching. Listen to John 12, 43. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. So James is saying, make sure that when you boast as a teacher, that you actually boast about the fact that you've received this gift from God, and therefore this gift must be to glorify God. So even our salvation is not for ourselves, but to glorify the King of all kings and our relationship with him. So when we receive a gift out of the grace of God, we enter into a place where we know that we are dependent on God for whatever word we release out of our lives. So God must be glorified, and it must be used to train others so that they can become better, so that they can grow, so that they can receive the blessings of God. There's a responsibility upon anyone that teaches the word of God. So let's get to the next scripture. Matthew 18 verse 6, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. So Jesus is very serious about the fact that, you know, whatever you speak, make sure that you get it right. Are you with me this morning? I just see in the society that we are living that we sometimes say things that we don't think about, and things that does not please God and that is not to God's glory. And I don't want to condemn you this morning, so please don't feel condemned. There is always victory in Christ. So we're going to step into the freedom of starting to control our words and what we say, and start to speak life, because God wants us to experience life in abundance. So listen to this. There's two things that James then says. He says, be careful that you can also stumble. So there's two ways in which he brings these temptations to us. He says, listen, make sure that you know that your own passions can actually make you to fall. James 1 verse 14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and we spoke about it last week, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. We spoke about the strongholds in our lives, the fact that there's godly strongholds, but there's also ungodly strongholds. The godly strongholds is the things, the principles, the ideas, the thoughts that we have that actually contribute to God's glory in our lives. But the ungodly strongholds is also true. The things that actually binds us, that keeps us from coming to the fullness that Christ wants for us. The second one is we get gripped by the devil, or tripped by the devil. Ephesians 6 verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the... Okay, are you with me this morning? Schemes of the devil. So, when it comes to us entering into a place of maturity, we must know and not be caught off guard here, that we have certain temptations that we must look out for. And those temptations can make us to fall. And the enemy is always looking at ways to trip us so that we can't fulfill the promises that God has for our lives. Ooh, are you with me this morning? We are walking in maturity. We are walking in the place where God wants us to be, the place where life starts to happen. The goal of a teacher must be to bring maturity. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to. And please go and read again James 1 after today. This coincide. Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about to every wind of doctrine by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds up itself in love. So we all know that there's different levels of maturity, and we are growing. So I want to say to you this morning, if you're a teacher, if you are committed to share the gospel, if you are committed to become the mature person that God wants you to be, that takes up the responsibility, know that there's a higher judgment. If you just got to Christ, know that there's grace. That God actually leads us to a place where all of us must move into holiness. But guess what? God wants us to come to maturity. It's beautiful yesterday to speak, you know, just about contentment at Bible school. The fact that, you know, when we're immature in Christ, our emotions and our lives go up and down the whole time. Because today, you know, we don't have a nice day. It's not a good day at our work. Things are not going well at our house, at our home. And our emotions and our spiritual walk turns with our circumstances. But as soon as we come to maturity, we actually come to a place of contentment in Christ where He is our reward. It doesn't matter what circumstances is happening in our lives, we start to actually have a stable line of always controlling our emotions to such an extent where we can say, although the fig tree does not blossom, I know that God is good. I know that God is faithful in my life. And so a call to maturity for James is to say, listen, guys, we can't stay the same. It's beautiful this morning, Melanie actually brought it to intercession as well, to say that, guys, one thing that we know about Christ is that you will never be able to not change. Change is a constant within our lives, and from where the world is at this stage, I can tell you, it actually speaks of less change. The more you can control your circumstances and be in control of where your budget goes and where your life goes, the more comfortable you feel and the more in control you feel, and the less change that happens, the less you need to change. Are you with me this morning? And so this call to maturity is a place where we constantly actually realize that we fall short, that we actually can't do this, that we actually can't come to the fullness of what Christ wants in our lives, but yet, Christ is all right for that. He says to us, listen, I love you enough, but I will not leave you to be the same. You're going to actually come to the fullness that I want for your life. Hebrews 5, 11 to 14. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So, we said it last week as well. For us then to enter into God's promises means that we must also distinguish what is good and what is bad. And the only way that you can get there is through the experience of hearing God's voice in such a way that you can discern between evil and good. And maturity comes at a quite a cost. Because maturity means that you and I must go through a lifelong suffering. And this morning it's not one of those amazing preaching moments where you're going to feel, you know, I get it all right moments. It's the Romans 5 principle. The fact that you and I, let's quickly read Romans 5. Let me just take you there. It's not on the screen, so if you have your Bible with you. I shared it yesterday with the Bible school students, and I want to remind you about it as well. Romans 5 verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is that peace? Through him we have also obtained access by faith into the grace which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The hope. Listen to this. Not only that, but we rejoice in the sufferings. Listen to this. And I want you to mark that. If you have your Bible here, mark sufferings. Write down sufferings. Please have your notebooks here on Sundays. We need to get these principles in our lives. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Write that as the next one. Endurance. So how do you get endurance? Through? Okay, Chrissy is awake. Through suffering. The only way to get to endurance is through? Okay. Church, work with me this morning. Okay, it's nice to be in the house of the Lord. It's through suffering. Listen to the next one. And then endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So, character is the next one, and then hope. So let's work it back. If we want hope in our lives, what do we need? If we want character, we need endurance. In order to get endurance, we need
suffering.
So this morning, I want to bring you back to a growth conversation. We need to grow, otherwise we die. And for us to get to that place, James speaks about the fact that we move into a place where we can actually go through a lot of suffering, a lot of change that needs to take place in our lives, so that we can get to the perfect standard of God in our lives. Now guess what? The biggest frustration that we have in the world that we are living is that when you are in the world, you always get to, and Melanie said it today as well, it's beautiful. You always in the world feel that you've accomplished something. You've reached a point. But as Christians, we constantly are changing, conforming to a Christ-like character. And that is sometimes frustrating, but it's so rewarding. Because when we get to a place where Christ can even test us on a different level, and we pass that test, and we don't go around the mountain 120 times in order to get to where Christ wants us to be. Because I can tell you, that mountain will make you die. If you stay long enough around that mountain and go through the same experience and same test over and over again, that thing is going to make you lose hope. But growth is beautiful when we can step into God's promises. And we can say, God, I want the victory, even though it's so hard, it's so difficult. So, James comes to a place where he actually leads us now to what he wants to say. James 3, verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So he speaks about a bit that directs a horse, a small bit that controls a big horse, a small tongue that controls a big human, large. The fact that a small tongue actually has the ability. But you know what's beautiful about the ship analogy is the fact that the ship has a rudder, but that rudder must be controlled by the one who steers it. And this is the point that James is busy making. He says, listen, if you've got the right one behind the steering, guess what? Your tongue will be able to speak the right things that will direct the ship into the right direction. So, yes, the rudder does talk about a nautical setting and the right direction as a ship, but I can tell you that rudder can only move as the steerman is busy steering it. So, I can tell you that for that ship, there's a lot of external factors that wants to get it to drift into the wrong direction, but there's only one thing that can really steer it, and that is the steerman, the one that is behind the steering wheel. And he says, for us as Christians, the beauty of it is that if Christ is behind your steering wheel, you'll be fine. The only problem is that Christ is not always fully behind that steering wheel. And that's a conversation that we sometimes must have with ourselves and even with people around us about what comes out of our mouths. Because that same mouth has a destructive potential. That same mouth can actually break people around you. And if we say that relationships shape and forms people around us, I can tell you the mouth is the main contributor to either speak life or break down. And so James in verse 5 says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. A world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting up on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Okay, it's not a good to hear message this morning. I was convicted as well, into the early morning still. God is convicting me about the things that I speak. Because I have the power to get the right one behind the steering wheel, because I can tell you, you don't have the power yourself. Can we just be clear about that this morning? We think so. We think that we can actually cultivate the kind of habits that will make us speak good things. But I can tell you, out of the human mind and out of humanity, we will not be able to speak anything good. You need to have a steering wheel conversation. The destructive power of the tongue. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? The fact that we so easily fall into the trap of letting our mouths and you know, our tongues rule our lives through negativity. And I want to say to you this morning, if you're a Christian, one of the things that I've learned through the youth these days is the word authenticity. They like it when you are real. But with that comes the greatest sin of the times that we are living in. And that is the one that I'm not a hypocrite, so I can say whatever I want and how I feel. And I have a problem with that these days. Because I find myself with Christians that actually use that as an excuse not to live godly lives. Because there's one problem with saying just what you want. Killing people around you. And yes, you are very authentic and you can say whatever you want to, but you know what? Your words are killing people. And we must have a conversation about that. Because words bring scars in our lives, and those scars make or break people. I want to say to you, the sooner we can get the right person behind the steering wheel, the sooner we will speak life. And you know how it's easy to discern if a person has life in their lives or not? Is the way a person looks after spending time with that person. Some people would spend time with people around them, and it's not as if they're saying negative things or anything, but when they come out of the presence of those people are just more negative and more, you know, downcast than ever. Are you with me this morning? It's strange.